Success, mobile listening.
2HX, KD2BNG, how's it going?
Good. Excellent. Name here is Dave. Calls again are KB2HXS. I'm down here driving through Great Court on my way to, going south.
I'm in Great Court now. Lawrence is one way. Fountain is the other way.
I'm actually on East 14 right now. I got a brain fart. Going down to a moose lodge down here on Highway 34. Gonna go play at tonight with me and me Bond.
Greenwood. It's a good thing I didn't get too far from the house. Because I'm about to have major car trouble. Let me try to get back.
Everything okay?
This crazy system is trying to tell me. I'm starting to suspect I'm low on oil. Like, majorly low on oil. So before something happens, I knew I should have checked that before I left.
Holy cow. Yeah, be careful with that. You can destroy that engine.
It's great to begin with, but you're right. Don't want to destroy it.
14 right now, just driving through Great Court. Heading down to Greenwood. I still got another... looks like about 45 minutes to go. It's probably because it's all back roads. But good luck with that.
It's a good thing I didn't get more than a mile or two. I was just starting, I just pulled out when you came on the air, so I haven't gotten far.
I'm coming into the downtown. I'm not really sure where I'm at. I'm not that familiar with Great Court. I know I'm passing through downtown here somewhere. Oh, okay, I'm at the traffic light here. Looks like, I don't know what road this is. I think this is 101.
I could have seen you. I probably just passed you. It's the only traffic light in Great Court, and it's the intersection of Highway 14 and 101.
That's exactly what it was. I saw the sign as it went past. So I'm traveling along the railroad tracks here, and I'm in a white Dodge if you see me.
Truck, I may have seen something coming eastern or whatever direction you were coming from. Yeah, all right. Well, just missed you.
Yeah, it was a Durango. Not a pickup, but a white Dodge Durango.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got I'm lucky I saw this. I got to check the oil on this thing. Because now I got this weird beeping noise going on. You know how these multifunction displays on this car, it lights up and it says, problem. Oh, really? Problem? Care to narrow it down for me? You know, it could just as easily have said oil pressure, or something like that. But, you know, I almost think that I've seen it before. And it's also true this car was in storage for a while. So, and I haven't changed the oil yet since I brought it out of storage. So it's possible it's down a quart. Actually, it's entirely possible it's down 2 quarts. All right, I'll let you go, and I'll talk to you in a bit. This is KD2BNG.
All righty, sir. Good luck with that. I'll be out here for a little few more minutes, as long as I can hold the repeater. Have a good evening or afternoon. KB2HXS Mobile. On my way to Greenwood.
KB2HXS. HSS, KD2BNG, how's it going?
Alrighty. How'd you make out?
Padre de Dios. It was almost bone dry.
Oh, not good.
This way, I didn't see it at the bottom of the dipstick. Now, this is one of those hybrid cars, so the engine doesn't always come on when you need it to come on. But it's not going to beep anymore. Yeah, because I didn't do an oil change before, and I should have done one now.
Question it?
4 or 5 quart tank, the big can, and I put in about a quart or a quart and a half, probably a quart and a half. and hopefully I'm okay.
Oh, that sounds bad. That's okay. You probably didn't burn nothing up.
It's burnt oil, or maybe that's the other thing. If something's burning oil, then usually what then? The piston rings?
If it was the piston rings, you'd probably see it in the exhaust. You get blue exhaust, you know, blue smoke.
Something like that. So, it does use oil somehow. Don't know how. But a lot of these small engines do.
I'd put a piece of cardboard on the next time it's working. You were a little noisy there. I didn't catch all of that, but yeah. If you're burning oil, you'd be seeing either a white or a blue smoke out the tailpipe. Not knowing the vehicle, I don't know what else to say.
This is a 7 Toyota Prius. These vehicles have usually been extremely reliable. This particular one is horrible.
Not the Priuses.
This one's inhabited by the devil, because I've had all kinds of computer problems. Right now I have no dashboard module, for example, so I have no speedometer, odometer, or, you know, also fuel gauge.
Oh, that's not good.
Speedometer and speedometer I can use, do without. You know, the fuel gauge is the problem. Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I gotta stop for fuel. Thanks for reminding me, sort of.
Well, your GPS and the phone will tell you how fast you're going. If you have, like, my GPS, my Google Maps, you tap on the lower left corner and it'll, speed limit will come up, so you know how fast you're going anyway.
Except for the iPhone, which is pretty much, that's what it is. It's a speedometer and odometer. And, you know, I reset it every time I refuel, so I know approximately when fuel is needed. So, I mean, yeah, I'll get by.
There you go. Get the old brain noggin working there, little man.
Expressway and all the fuel stations are in the other direction, but I'm sure I'm fine.
All right. Well, it's a hybrid, isn't it? You can pretty much run anything in that tank, or... Is that a battery vehicle? I forget what those things are.
A drivetrain that has electric motors and internal combustion engines, both hooked to the transaxle. So either one or both can drive the vehicle. You know, supposedly it was good for fuel efficiency.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, well, you should be okay then.
One internal combustion engine. There might be more than one motor, though.
Those silly things. Anyway, I'm getting down into the woods down here. I'm starting to lose the repeater a little bit, and I got to make a turn here. So, you have a good afternoon, sir.
I'll drive safely, and maybe we'll hear from you later.
Yeah, I'll be back on the radio probably like 11 o'clock or 10:30, 11 o'clock tonight. You know, get somebody on here to talk to on the way home.
Yeah, I haven't been on the net recently. There's a 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. net every day, but I haven't been there in quite a few days, quite a few weeks, actually.
That's right. I get home from work, and I'm pretty tired, you know, working like I do all day in the attic or under a house or something. By 9 o'clock, my eyes are hanging shut.
Me too, and I'm sure I do a lot less than you do.
Yeah, usually I'm up in an attic or under a house or doing something crazy, putting in the air conditioning and whatnot. So by 9 o'clock, I'm checking my eyelids for cracks.
Oh, you're up early. You're probably up at the crack of dawn or something. I don't really have any job or anything else to go to anymore. So then again, sleep all day isn't the best thing either.
Yeah, I'm up at 5 o'clock. I'm up before the crack of dawn. Yeah, I'm up around 5 o'clock every morning, pretty much. Even on the weekends, my wife yells at me, Kim, what are you doing?
Attics and under houses, do you do construction or air conditioning, or what did you say?
Air conditioning.
That's always a good, anything with home repair, home maintenance, electrical, plumbing, construction, contracting, you pretty much can't go wrong. You'll usually always find work.
Oh, yeah, my company keeps me pretty busy. They finally gave me a company van to take home, thank God. It takes some pressure off my vehicle.
You drive 200 miles a day and just going to various jobs.
Well, not really. I don't do the technical too much anymore. I'm more on the install now. I like doing installs. I don't got to run around like a maniac. I go to one job and get it done. I'm done. I don't have to worry about being on call anymore.
Still puts a lot of miles on. You know, I guess doing almost anything around here puts a lot of miles on your vehicle. It's not like it was up north. Drive 5 miles this way to get a loaf of bread, 10 miles the other way to get some milk and butter to put on the bread. So your car takes a lot down here.
Oh yeah, but it's all highway miles, so it's not bad. You know, it's not a lot of stops and starts.
It's true, I suppose. If it was city miles, it'd be a lot worse. Actually, this car, you know, this type of hybrid car was actually very good for that, because a lot of times as you're creeping along through traffic, like that section I always used to hit near the airport, where it's bumper to bumper, a lot of times you'll just kind of creep forward using the electric motor, so you're not constantly idling the engine and starting and stopping the engine. So it is good for that. I used to see a lot of these things as taxi cabs up in New York.
Oh, wow. Excellent. All right, I'm getting on the fringe of the repeater down here. I'm on 221 South here, so let me get out of here. I got about 20 minutes to go, so I'll catch you a little later, perhaps. We'll see. KB2HXS, I'll be out of here.
Talking to you, 73s, and have a good rest of your day.
You do the same. Have a good afternoon. KB2HXS will be out of here.
Before DJW Mobile.
Autonomic airplane flight, and it's still in one piece, and it's going home in one piece, so I'm like on cloud nine, literally. W4TJW.
You can kind of tell with your voice there. You're excited.
Guys that do that on YouTube for 10 years at least, and learned everything I could learn about it. And then when you actually do it, it's not like when they are doing it and they're filming it, you're just a bystander watching it. I put that thing in loiter and it made these really huge circles, and I look down at the radio and see how many amps it's drawing and what the voltage is of the lowest cell. And then I look back up and the plane's gone. I couldn't find it. I panicked. So I wait a little bit and I see a little dot on the screen move around. Then I look where that dot is and I find it again. But that was kind of spooky. That's a learning experience, but it's a good learning experience.
It is, with all the work you've put into that thing, when it takes off and you don't know where it's at.
N0LGR Mobile.
You got to get a camera in it. You can put the goggles on, or you can look in the monitor, and you can see what it sees. Then you can point it back home and fly right over your head, and then you will see it. But without it, this one doesn't have a camera. It's just got the telemetry going to a telemetry ground station, and you can read the numbers, but it's nothing like seeing it on my camera. Go ahead, Tom, W4DJW.
W4DJW, along with Patrick. This is NGLTR. Well, I got two questions.
Does that one have a button that you can push that'll bring it back home when you're in autonomous mode? And what kind of range can you fly out to, Dick?
But you've got to get everything set up right. Like some people don't get their compass set up right, and they don't tell it that it can use a backup. That's the GPS coordinates, and as it moves over time, and then it does a flyaway. I've watched enough of them to know. Once they do the analysis, they figure out what's wrong. So the answer is yes, and I did program it. It's got like 60 different flight modes, 60. RTL, return to launch, is one of them. It'll return to the launch point, and then it'll circle in loiter mode until you put it in manual load mode and land it. Or you can tack a landing onto loiter. And the range is whatever you want it to be. I mean, there's a legal limit that you can have in the United States, but that's just a legal thing. That's not a technical thing. The rule is for every mile you fly out, you fly up one-tenth of a mile. So if you go out 5,280 feet, you go up 520 feet. And you go out another 5,280 feet, you go up another 520 feet. And you just keep doing that, and you can go till as far as Jerry can talk to a satellite on a two-meter radio, right? You can go as far as you want to go, thousands of miles if you want to. And just on milliwatts, you're not using a whole lot of power because it uses frequency hopping spread spectrum. So it just works. Does that answer the question, Tom?
Absolutely. That's incredible. I didn't know that you could go that far out with them. You just don't want to lose your artificial horizon, basically. Thanks, Dave. Very interesting. Go ahead, Patrick.
Just quite interesting there to be that far out and that far up.
There is a thing you can fly like mountaintop to mountaintop and just fly over a valley. But there's this Forenzel effect that you have to understand what it's doing when the frequency is bouncing off of different objects and coming back to it. And you got to stay out of that effect. But that's like a lot of people get up on one mountaintop and fly over to the other mountaintop and then come back. And that's like a 30-kilometer, they measure everything in kilometers. The guys that are doing it aren't typically in the United States, so everything's measured in kilometers. The government stops the U.S., the people from being that innovative in the U.S. right now. You can apply, though, the way it is with FAA, you can apply for an exception if you want to do something like that, and if they approve it, then you can go do it, which is good, because originally they were just going to chop our legs off at the knees, and now at least we have a way to do it. It's just complicated.
Are there altitude limitations and also airspace limitations? And do they equip those with it, like, as an example, and I know it's not the same necessarily, an ADS-B or something like that, Dave, to where if you breach an airspace that they're able to see it?
And the answer to that is twofold. One is the answer to them being able to see it is twofold. The big manufacturers that make multirotors or even airplanes, right, either one, multirotors or airplanes, they don't usually make drones. I know everybody calls them drones, but that's not what a drone is. They make multirotors and airplanes that have they can't follow waypoints. They can just go wherever the pilot directs them. For some reason, they won't make them autonomic. They're just dumb airplanes and dumb multirotors. But what they do is the FAA is getting ready to put this ID requirement on every airplane, whether it's an RC model or it's a full scale. If it's in the airspace, and that could be in the airspace in your garage, they want to know about it. So they're making this ID thing that, and all of the big manufacturers are complying with that. They have to. But if you build your own, right, you have to do that too when the FAA says you have to do it. Well, these guys, the manufacturers, are getting ahead of it, and they're getting that ID. It's kind of like ADS-B, something like that, but it's not the same thing. Yeah, they can tell when you do that if you're flying a store-bought multirotor or airplane. If you build your own, they can't tell. I mean, unless you go add that, and it's not a requirement that you add it yet, it will be a requirement in the future.
so your aircraft will squawk an IFF code, basically, I guess, is what you're saying, Dave. And you can answer that. And what's your altitude restrictions?
Your aircraft will effectively do that. It won't be the same thing, the same mechanism, because they're wanting to use internet instead of squawking over the air, over RF. But you got to use RF to get to the internet. So they want to be able to see you wherever you are in the United States. They don't want to have to be RF dependent, especially for those guys that are out in the Midwest where there is no, there's no listening stations or anything out there. And the limit on airspace without getting an exception is 400 feet. And there is geofencing, and there's areas like where we have two geofences in upstate South Carolina, one for Spartanburg and one for Greenville. You can't fly a store-bought airplane or multirotor into those spaces. They just won't let you do it. You try to fly into it, it'll stop. It'll say, no, I'm not going there. It's not allowed. And 400 feet, it won't go. They won't go above that limit either. Now, there are ways to get around it, but you should, really shouldn't do that.
Go ahead, Patrick. Thanks, Dave.
You're listening, Tom. It's all pretty interesting to me, and I don't know anything about any of it, so I'm just trying to take in what they're letting us know.
Okay, and 4CHY. That's why, go ahead.
4CHY, I think it is. And Dave, if it returns to home, does it use a GPS coordinate and then brake for this other gentleman?
Punch. The first thing you do is arm. They're not armed until you tell them to arm. That way you don't cut your fingers off with it. Some of them have carbon fiber drops that are hard as steel, and they're sharp like razor blades. And their motor starts spinning. You're not ready for it. It could, you know, you could lose a digit. So you have to arm them before you take them off. And you usually put them in a free space before you arm them, right, ready for takeoff. And when you arm it, that's your GPS coordinates for home. And when you do a return to launch, they go back home. And you can override that, too. You can drop home. Like if you're going on a 500-mile mission, you don't want it to return after you get 200 miles down the road. You don't want that. You don't want it returning 200 miles behind you. You want it so you can drop new home points as you're going along in a mission. And the other station, go ahead.
BWKN4CHY. Good evening, Dave, Tom, and Patrick. Here. I was just curious as to, I'm thinking since you've got a ground station, it must be like Harvey Pilot. I was wondering if it's Harvey Pilot or I am.
And you are a little bit fuzzy, so if you've got some more power or if you're on a handy talk, you can look for a better signal while I'm talking. But yeah, it does have a ground station. The ground station I'm using is Mission Planner. The firmware that's running on the flight controller is called Autopilot. So Autopilot talks back to, there's like four frequencies involved. It talks back to the ground station that's got a telemetry radio that's listening either on 70 centimeters or 900 megahertz. You can choose, you can make it your choice. And then it has also video coming back, can be 2 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz. Then it has a command frequency, which is 2 gigahertz and or 900 megahertz. So there's a lot of frequencies involved, a lot of communication, at least four channels of communication going back and forth between the multirotor and the ground station. And the ground station is composed of a monitor, a telemetry radio, a computer, and some software to monitor the telemetry on screen so you can see it moving around on the screen. And you get an artificial horizon on your screen. So it's kind of like you're sitting in the cockpit, but you're remote.
Let's see if I got it up high power. I think I might have a coax problem on the antenna here. We'll get to that. I kind of figured if it was a ground station, it was already solid. I didn't want to do some of that stuff myself. I have it supposed to come out as a ground station. It was in the works, but I don't think it's ready yet. And was wondering, too, if you've ever seen RC Flight Test on YouTube. He's been doing autonomous watercraft. And that's been pretty interesting. And being over here in Seneca, I was thinking that that might be right up my alley to do a 2D thing on the lakes over here. Over.
Dave? I got to get out. Bernice and I are taking a whole carload full of stuff to Amy's Oktoberfest, and you're welcome to run over there if you want to and have dinner. And starts at 6 o'clock, and just call me and I'll give you the coordinates. And it's been great talking to you. Congratulations on that. I studied a little bit of telemetry, but not enough to remember at my age. But it sounds really fascinating. That's great, Dave. Glad you're enjoying your retirement. And Patrick, 73's to you and all else, everyone else here. And we'll be clear as we're pulling up to the driveway. This is NGRLTR, mobile clear.
Okay, Tom. Well, I got some other running around I got to do. That's why I had to come home a little bit early. But anyway, you and Bernice, enjoy your Oktoberfest. I know you will. And say hi to the family. And take care. Good talking to you. And for the other station, yes, I do watch RC flight tests. I've been watching him the longest. Test flight, I watched them as well. But I watched his latest video on the tugboat where he sat in a kayak and his tugboat tugged him around the lakeside. And then I also watched the one where he flew out over the lake and flew up to the city and then turned around and came back. So, yeah, he's one of the early ones. I've watched him since he was a teenager, and him and his girlfriend used to go out. He'd sit in the passenger seat and she'd drive the car, and they'd fly the airplane in front of the car. So, yeah, he's a real inspiration. I've been watching him I think the first video I saw him do is he flew an airplane out of his bedroom window, and then he flew around his neighborhood, and he didn't show where he landed, but that was pretty cool.
NZRTRK and 4CH Live, you still there? Good to hear your time. Have a good time tonight, sounds like you will. Yeah, and Dave, I've not been a follower of him that long, but I do like his experimentation and his ingenuity and his way of looking at things. And it has kind of been an inspiration on doing some autonomous stuff like that. I was mostly doing drones and got into a little fixed wing stuff with some little small wings, but I'd like to get a little bigger wing and do something autonomous with it. Over.
There's a lot of airfields around too, a lot more than there are amateur radio clubs. There's a ton of airfields. At first I thought ham radio was bigger than airplanes, but I found out later that airplanes is probably two or three times as big as ham radio, which is cool. That's a good. I thought amateur radio was a lot bigger than it is, but it's got about 1 million hams, and I think there's about 4 million flyers. There's probably more than that now in the last 5 or 6 years since it got popular, since flight controllers came out. Anyway, I'm sitting in the driveway idling, and my wife's waiting on me to come home. I got to unload and reload the truck. So good talking to you. Good to know there's somebody else in the area that's watching the same videos I'm watching. W4DJW. Catch you later.
KW King 4CHY. Yep, good talking to you, Dave. And been watching him for a while now. Not quite as long as you have, but thoroughly enjoyed him. And there's a few other channels kind of related to that kind of thing that I like to watch. But 73s, and y'all have a good evening, and we'll catch you later on. KN4CHY, be clear.